Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we're back up. Oh, I've got it now.
I hear you.
Here, speak into your mic.
We welcome you all back.
It's not. It's. I'm hearing.
I heard it.
No, but watch this. I'm going to turn this down. Now you can still hear me.
Yeah.
Now can you hear this? Okay, yeah. So that's working.
Yeah, it's working. It's working.
Okay, it is.
Yeah. So that's about 10 minutes.
We lost.
It seems like the weightier topics tend to screw up the broadcast mechanisms that we have here. What I was saying is that God informs everyone. Well, God informs those.
Just one thing. Go ahead and text
who,
your friend and tell
who
her
are informable.
She left.
Okay.
God informs those who are informable. What I mean by informable is they may not know what's about to happen, but they are not resistant to what is about, to information, in other words. Elohim was prepared and preparing to destroy the whole world with a flood. Every living creature, every living human being would be drowned in the water of the flood. But one man, Noah, was righteous. And God would be unjust if he destroyed one righteous person with the millions of people that were to be destroyed by the flood. So Elohim informed Noah that a flood was coming to destroy all life. And that because he was righteous, God would not destroy him with a flood. And what he needed to do to not be put to death by the water of the flood was to build a boat. And Noah didn't need to ask Elohim what kind of boat, how big a boat, how it should be constructed, what he needed to take with him, if anything, in the boat. All these instructions were carefully given to Noah so that he could follow them exactly. And he and his family would survive. Now, we are not told that Noah's family was righteous, which I believe would be in there if they were. But Noah's family, apparently, their heart was not in the same irretrievable situation and condition that the rest of the world had. So Noah built the boat. And for Noah's sake, God preserved many of the animals that he had created. See, if you think about it, God will preserve the righteous. And in the case of the flood, preserve Noah, one righteous man. But what would be the purpose of God preserving one righteous man to live on an earth devoid of all other life? No family, no creatures. Noah would eventually die, and what would be left? God does not need to be informed as to the result of his action. God acts in a lawful manner, a manner consistent with his law. Now, there are, as far as I know, I have not met anyone who believes differently than this. And what this is that God named Noah to be his end time prophet. And that while Noah was building the boat, he was also preaching. Preaching to the inhabitants of the world, warning them that a flood was coming and what they needed to do if they wanted to survive it. If that's what Noah was doing, then what God has said about themselves in the Bible, giving this information to Moses and Moses writing it down, what they've said about themselves is not totally true. See, if the heart of mankind had become so hardened that no amount of preaching or informing or warning would change it, so God told Noah to build a boat so that he and his family would not be put to death by the water of the flood they were sending. Much time and pontification has been put into over the years. Well, you know, how that ark, if Noah's preaching to these people, and how many people would come, and the ark wasn't big enough to hold people and animals, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and so on and so forth. And all of this, well, of course, the account in Genesis could not be true because, you know, Moses wouldn't have built a big enough boat. Noah. Wouldn't have built a big enough boat to save all these people that he's warning and hoping to come. What does the Son of God say about that time?
You find that in Matthew 24:36 and on.
As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man returns. People eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And they were doing this up until the day that Noah went into the ark.
Matthew 24:39, and they did not understand. And remember, we're talking about
Informing.
And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. And people look at this and they just blow this off. Literally, they blow it off. They say that Jesus couldn't have meant that because Noah obviously preached. He preached to these people 120 years. But Jesus says, just as you pointed out, Rick, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah.
the people knew nothing.
Nothing about it.
About what was to happen until the floodwaters were upon them. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to start with verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Three words. And those three words are, whom shall I send? Four, sorry. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Is that plural? Elohim, God's plural, that's capital G. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who is the Mother. Who will go for us? Who will go for us? Go in what? Continue reading. In verse 9. Go and tell this people. Go and tell this people. Tell them what? Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Perceive and understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive. Does that sound like the condition of the heart of the people before the flood, as characterized by Elohim's conclusion? Every inclination of the heart of man was to evil only. Render the hearts of this people insensitive. God told Moses, I am going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's heart must not have been completely hardened. So how was God going to do this? God was going to inform Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was going to harden his heart against the information he was receiving, as evidenced by signs and wonders, miracles, unexplained events that had no material world explanation, more on the vein of supernatural.
Okay, quick question. Why would God harden Pharaoh's heart?
Judgment. What God told Moses, that he was going to judge the land of Egypt. In fact, after that, the land of Egypt was never the superpower that it had been. Oh, it had its moments, but it was never the superpower that it had been. God did not make Pharaoh's heart hard. God hardened Pharaoh's heart through giving him information which he refused to acknowledge and accept and comply with. What is the description of what is going on at the end of time? Just before the judgment comes, what does God do?
Sends information.
He sends information which the heart of man, and when I talk about the heart of man, I'm not talking about the fleshy organ that pumps blood throughout the body. I'm talking about the place in mankind where they operate from, what they are totally given over to, what they believe, how they perceive the reality in which they live. Because the reality in which they live is nothing more than they're operating through life on the information which they have received throughout their life and how they understand that information. And the information, which is the cornerstone of the seat of everything that we believe and hold to and from which our actions stem, was developed within the first 5 years of our life. Everything else that we have incorporated into our operation is built on that.
It is our operating system. And just like a computer that has an operating system, sometimes information can be provided or given to that operating system which causes it to jam up, to stop, to start it to not function. If your parents and their parents and their parents have established a paradigm for your family, and you decide by your education inside your family, however that worked, I was adopted, all right? You will not be able to get out of that paradigm without significant effort. People will tell you, come to Jesus and your life will be easy. My burden is light, he says. But the burden that is light is not simply accepting that burden and saying God has taken over for, you know, this is my burden, but Jesus is going to walk it for me. God is going to walk that valley for me. He's going to carry me when I need to be carried. It doesn't work that way.
God is going to judge the people of earth.
I was just reading this. My mind went to 1 John 1:5 through 7. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What is this light? What is this darkness?
And Jesus told his disciples in Matthew, it's recorded, the eye is the lamp of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And if your eye is sound, if it is healthy, then your body is full of light. But if your eye is diseased, the sin, in other words, with false understanding and perception, then your body is full of darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Because if you believe that your understanding and how you perceive things is light, and that you walk in the light with God of light, but in fact you are in darkness, believing it is light, then how great is that darkness? Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Notice they're not quite past the point of no return, but they are very close. Lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land utterly desolate. What is that describing? Judgment. That's the result. When the judgment comes, the punitive penalty phase of the judgment, that's what you have. You see cities devastated and without inhabitant, houses without people, land utterly destroyed. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. This is final judgment. Final judgment came. Why? What was the situation that brought this final judgment? And this is upon the land of Israel and surrounding nations who knew what was going on and who participated in it.
So why?
Lack of understanding? Following?
They became resistant to the point they would not listen to the truth. They would not listen to the voice of God. Elohim says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Who will speak the words that will harden the heart of this people? That happened, and God no longer had a people to represent him on the earth. The northern kingdom was dispersed throughout the world. The southern kingdom was taken into captivity in Babylon. But God said, I will give them another opportunity. I will take them back. Now, not the adults, mind you. The adults that went into captivity, they didn't come back. But their offspring, who were raised during the captivity period, God said, I will bring them back. But he told Daniel that they have to live up to the same standards. The same standards that he had required from the generations before the captivity. And he said, you know, here's the fact in the matter. They too will fail, just as their fathers did. But I will still give them the opportunity to choose the right way.
God always gives us enough rope with which to hang ourselves.
Yep.
Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Starting with verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see. And while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. And with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I should heal them." We're about out of time. I did want to bring this up. It might make you think that what when reading this is that mankind is incapable of doing what God has asked, and that's exactly what Paul says, that God requires more than mankind is even capable of delivering. But there is the story of Nineveh, and all of you, I'm sure, understand and heard the story of Nineveh. God was going to destroy the city of Nineveh because it had reached the point of no return. But God knew that if he gave Nineveh a warning, they would change. And that's why he called Jonah. And Jonah said, God is going to destroy the city and all the people in it. And they humbled themselves and they asked for forgiveness. They acknowledged their sinful ways and pleaded with God.
And by the way, this was as a people, as a corporate body.
From the king in his palace to the lowliest servant.
This was not
in the city.
A personal salvation.
And the king had ruled. And God spared the city, much to Jonah's embarrassment.
Chagrin is a good
Sorry
word.
About the technical glitch. We will continue this later on.
Thank you all. Thank you, Rick. We encourage you to take a look at our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/STM. We encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus. So long for now.